Once again, Jerry Jones is making me nervous, Maggie. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Perloff here in New York, Maggie in the home studio. So all along, Maggie, I've been saying, oh, they're just negotiating. There's nothing to worry about here. Eventually, they're going to sign CeeDee Lamb. That's the first thing. Maybe they'll sign Dak Prescott. That's the second thing. Clearly, everyone's forgotten that Micah Parsons wants money, too. He's an afterthought at this point. But CeeDee Lamb is not there yet. It's getting pretty close. Getting a little nervous about that. Apparently, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, they're still talking to Dak Prescott this offseason, that the negotiation hasn't stopped. But it looks like they're going to go into the season without a new contract for Dak Prescott, and he will be playing one more season than hitting free agency. And I think from the get-go, you and I view this differently, Maggie. We now have really what I think is going to be a big show bet. Can you explain the terms?
Oh, yeah, the show bet first and foremost, and then we can get to what's at stake for the Cowboys. But what's at stake for us, clearly the most important thing here, which is, and we're borrowing from a group of buddies who had a fantasy football league, and the loser, as their punishment, had to sit at a Waffle House for 24 hours, and every waffle that he ate had 1 hour taken away from the 24 hours. Well, that sounds like something that'd be right up our alley, because we don't do anything small here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. We go big on everything. So Perloff kind of balked a little bit about eating that many waffles because you don't like carbs and you're not into sugar. And no wonder Ernest Pendleton was punching you in the bully in high school. We found out last hour was punching Perloff in the arm every time he passed him in the hallways. Good thing he didn't know about that carbs and sugar take. But, okay, I have come around. And if you really want to replace waffles with cheese omelets, as you asked, I will acquiesce. I will still do the waffles if I lose the bet.
Yeah.
But you can do the cheese omelets. Now, I don't feel like that is much healthier, but if that's what you want and that's what it takes to get you into this bet, then I will make that concession.
Well, according to the Mayo Clinic, I will probably shorten my life by 11 years if I eat 72 eggs in 24 hours. So I have to admit, I'm feeling a little nervous to the point where I might actually call Dak Prescott's agent and say, dude, you got to help me out here. You got to stay in Dallas.
Take the deal.
I mean, I told you my perfect scenario is that we make this bet. We set it in stone. Well, the bet is set in stone. The stakes are still up for a negotiation.
Yes, I think that Dak Prescott is playing his final season with the Cowboys. I think this is it. I think it's over.
Yeah.
Perloff, you think this is death and taxes and Jerry Jones never changes and Dak will be here till the end of time.
Right. The perfect scenario for me is that at 11 o'clock today, Dak Prescott signs a 6-year contract, and then you're knee-deep in waffles. Because I have to be honest, I'm nervous about the food bet. But let's be real, Maggie. If Dak Prescott has this great season and earns more money in free agency, who's the leading candidate to sign him in free agency? Dallas Cowboys.
Well, okay, but see, here's the thing. I think you're going to have other suitors who are going to come calling.
Like who?
I think that Seattle could come calling.
Why would he leave the Dallas Cowboys to go to the Seattle Seahawks?
I'm just saying if the money is bigger somewhere else, leave.
Why would someone else? I mean, is someone going to do it to Deshaun Watson and really sell all out for Dak Prescott? I mean, listen, the Seahawks had an aging quarterback and got rid of him. Now they have another aging quarterback in Geno Smith. I don't think there's a perfect scenario. Dallas is perfect for Dak Prescott. Why would they not come together?
Arizona Cardinals, if things go sideways with Kyler Murray.
Why would Dak do that?
For money, Pearl. For money, he would do it.
Arizona's going to outbid the richest franchise? How did the Arizona Cardinals outbid the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I think the Dallas Cowboys will always say, hey, there's no state taxes here. We can give you a little bit less. The cost of living might be less than to say, go play for the New York Jets or the Giants or something like that. Which, by the way, the Giants could be on this list as well.
But again,
I know.
A losing franchise and you just mentioned a bunch of franchises that never signed big free agents. Did the Cardinals or Giants ever sign a big free agent?
Well, didn't Kurt Warner go to the Cardinals?
He was a journeyman. He was a backup at that point.
So here's the thing, though. It's like you have I'm giving you teams, not Seattle. Seattle might be fine with Geno. That was the first off the top of my head. Arizona, the New York Giants would be another one. Let's see what happens with the Tampa Bay Bucks with Baker Mayfield.
That was a little juicy, but still.
A new regime and all of that. Again, a place with no state taxes. So if you're talking about money here, they can offer a boatload of it and he'll get most of it. The other part of it, I'm talking about teams that are desperate. And that is unfortunately for Cowboy fans, and I'm sorry to say this to you, as a fan base, you are desperate to win a Super Bowl and to get back to the glory days. Jerry Jones is not desperate like you are. And Pearl, you and I will always disagree about this, but he lied to everybody about being all in, and now, and he lies to people, I think, you know, about having an urgency to win a Super Bowl. I don't think he cares as much as the fans do, because he's got the gravy train of all gravy trains going right now with the Cowboys. And he's the most powerful owner in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's got all the things. And by the way, those Lombardi trophies, I think he's talked himself into, those are mine, not Jimmy's. Or at least they're just as much mine as they are Jimmy Johnson. So, you know, delusion's powerful. So to me, this is, you're going to have teams maybe who could feel more desperate to get back to relevance, which is something the Cowboys are, whether they're 8-8 or whether they've won 13 games. They're always relevant. So that's why I think Dak's going to have a market if he gets to free agency.
Let me just be clear about this, though. You're saying that Jerry Jones is not desperate to win a Super Bowl, and therefore he will move on from Dak Prescott, when we have already proven scientifically that Dak Prescott cannot win a Super Bowl with him. So if he's not desperate to win a Super Bowl, then he should re-sign Dak, because he's already shown that this will keep us good, not great. So
I don't think he wants
that
Dak
formula doesn't make sense.
Here's the thing. Did you just watch Kirk Cousins get $100 million? Because I did. And this is Kirk Cousins at 36 coming off an Achilles.
Right.
Why wouldn't Dak Prescott, if he's healthy, or even if he's not, why wouldn't he be getting at least Kirk Cousins money?
He will, and it'll be in Dallas, because that's what happened last time. And what changes? I mean, this is a team that never changes anything. They brought back Ezekiel Elliott. They don't like change. Jerry Jones does the same thing over and over again. He's going to do exactly what he did last time, let the contract run out, and then pay through the gills for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think this is his last year. I'm willing to, stake my, a couple key arteries are going to be on the line here if I lose this bet. I'm going to need like some kind, you know, actually, Pearl, I was thinking about this. If we do this bet, we really should have like a nutritionist on, or somebody in the health field who can tell us what is actually better for you or worse for you, to eat the cheese omelets or to eat the waffles.
Well, there's a big question. Does eating foods like eggs that are high in cholesterol actually spike your cholesterol? Because modern research shows that cholesterol is much more of a genetic thing. So you're right. I would love. And also, I can't find any consistent answer on how many eggs are in a Waffle House omelet. Is this mandated by Big Waffle House, or does each franchise have their own choice about how many eggs to put in there? Maggie, do you know?
I saw three. I did some internet research. I thought they're doing three egg omelets at Waffle House. I mean, that's a lot. Maybe they would modify
every
it for you, but that's not the terms of the bet.
Every omelet is three egg omelet? You can prove this?
I think so, but again, I only did a cursory search on this.
There's one in Scranton that I'm going to call today.
Okay.
Scranton, Pennsylvania. Home of Joe Biden, and see if I can...
The office.
And the office. And the Scranton-Wilkesboro Phillies. I don't know if they're still there, a minor league team. See how many eggs... If there was two eggs in the omelet, that would change my entire opinion.
Are we sure it's eggs? For all we know, Waffle House could be serving something that's completely...
Oh, like an egg product?
Like a mystery substance.
Or like the kind of eggs that you pour out of a jar? Those
yes.
kind of eggs?
Oh, egg beaters?
Yeah, something like that. Yo, definitely. You're 100% right about that.
So that could be worse for you.
Worse? Well, it's just eggs, but it's just eggs that are combined into... It's. What do you think? It's not eggs?
It's some type of substance.
Waffle House is awesome, Ryan. I will not sit here for this Waffle House slander.
No,
what
it's great, but it's not high quality. It's not like 5-star.
They're doing a lot of things with like food engineering lately. It's a fair question to ask. Like, are we eating? What are we eating? But maybe you can get a tour of the kitchen and you can see how many eggs are going in the omelet.
I don't want a tour of the Waffle House kitchen. I'm good. Why would you want to? I don't want to tour any kitchen. I don't want to know how the sausage is made, specifically
Literally.
In this case, the sausage. Yeah, that's the last thing I want. But Maggie, you'll be proud of me.
Why?
I was in Vermont this weekend.
I saw the reunion.
So it was with my four best friends growing up. We spent 4 days. They spent 4 days. I was there for 3 days. I ate every morning a large plate of pancakes with maple syrup.
Look at you living a little.
Take that, Ernest Pendleton.
Your high school bully. If he could see you now.
And now, so it was so good that but this was real Vermont maple syrup. So I wonder, like, does Waffle House have that high quality maple syrup straight out of the tree?
I mean, you can bring your own. Have Pauly Papps, who you saw from DP show, yeah, who we love, have him tap a couple of maple trees for you, and you can bring your own, like how people used to bring their own salad dressing to restaurants and stuff.
Ryan, can you look up, is there a Waffle House policy on bringing your own syrup? This is not that simple, Maggie. They might be, it's not a BYOS place, is it? Bring your own syrup. They might have rules here.
I actually did a maple syrup tasting test one time, and there's something called like pancake syrup. That's not, you have to, there's like a technical term for the fake stuff. I think it's called pancake syrup.
The kind you buy at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Do you let the syrup go over the eggs and the sausage and everything else and the bacon?
Everything.
Oh, the best. The bacon when it falls into the syrup. So that's a funny thing too. If I get waffles, I'm definitely getting many sides of bacon too.
I mean, this is a food challenge.
Yeah,
you can't waste your calories.
It's bacon. Bacon, there's no situation that bacon can't make better, and we all know that.
Wait a minute. You were scared of cars, but you're going to stack up a bunch of bacon on your bet? Come on, Pearl.
Bacon is good. The fat, you know, I think people mistake one thing about diets. Like, fat is good. Bacon is good, EJ.
Fat is good, like avocado. I don't know if anyone's out there saying do an all-bacon diet. I'd love to find that cardiologist.
You would lose a ton of weight on an all-bacon diet.
Yeah, maybe you would, because there's no carbs in it. But this is, so this is where we're doing the terms of the bet. I mean, it all comes back to Dak Prescott. Is he going to be with the Dallas Cowboys past this season? Yeah. I say no. Perloff says yes, because here's the other part of it, not to take what we can still talk about all the X's and O's of this bet. But here's another part of it. This is another key point that you and I disagree on. I think Dak now wants to get to free agency, and you don't think so. Like, he could see life beyond the Dallas Cowboys, because Tom Brady saw life after New England, and Matthew Stafford saw life after the Lions. And I know that the Cowboys have been successful winning a lot of regular season games in Dallas. It's not bad situation, and he's not in a bad situation, but I think he would welcome free agency and to feel a little love, not the will they, won't they, that he's been doing this tap dance with Jerry Jones for the last 5 years.
I don't think so. I see what you're saying, and the Tom Brady model is interesting, but I think Dak has got this foot problem too. I don't think Dak has ever really 100% recovered from that when he shattered his leg.
Cousins is coming off an Achilles. He had how many teams were after him?
No, I understand the being wanted, but I think Dak, if he's realistic, I just don't think there's a better situation than Dallas. I mean, the dude still does a lot of commercials. Like, you mentioned Arizona. Can you really? I mean, that sounds like a disaster. That sounds Emmitt Smith going to Arizona.
He's still got a little more left in the tank.
Not that much. He's not that young.
Well, in this day and age, these older quarterbacks are getting paid. And the other part, too, is hasn't Dak put in enough time as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback to reap the benefits of being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback? Do you actually have to retire to go to the booth and get $17 million like Tony Romo, or to keep your mattress commercials or all the stuff? Like, he's been their quarterback for a decade. I think he has enough skin in the game that he'll probably always be remembered as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback unless he wins somewhere else. And I think he's like got enough shine off of Dallas. I don't know if he needs that star anymore.
If he goes to Arizona and goes 5-12, he's out at Sleep Number. He's probably out anyway.
Out at Sleep Number.
Definitely. No, there's no way Sleep Number is going to pay for a losing. It reminds me when Donovan McNabb left my Eagles to go to Washington. Maggie, you say that this does not work. The teams you're mentioning, Arizona, Giants, these are perennial losers who have much deeper problems than their quarterback position. They have ownership problems. They have personnel problems. Like
not Tampa. Tampa doesn't
have
that.
Well, you keep bringing Tampa up. And yes, yeah. I like Tampa. That's the one I like. I think I'm thinking more of the state taxes. But listen, look at their depth chart. Like, they're getting old fast, too. I mean, they lost some of their great linemen that won that Super Bowl in 2020. Mike Evans is definitely at the end. I'm not
young
sure
offensive
that's
line. Rebuilding the offensive line. It's not all old. You're right. There are definitely veteran guys in that Tampa team. But you also, Winfield, you've got some younger dudes on there.
Well, yeah, but first of all, that offensive line, like, that was great a couple years ago. And those guys all got old fast. like Ali Marpet and that crew, they're gone. And now they, and Mike they Evans is 31. Like, who are you? What's the
they one of the highest paid offensive linemen? Don't they have the highest paid? Wirfs just got this massive contract. He's not going anywhere. Anyway, not to break down the Tampa offensive line. I'm just saying, I think that there are, like, my point is Dak Prescott goes somewhere else. He's most likely going to always be known as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Like, yeah. And you brought up Donovan McNabb, who was a legend in Philadelphia and then left. I still see Don McNabb doing weekly appearances on Philly radio. I'm sure he gets cheered everywhere he goes in Philly. I don't know what you guys say behind his back, but I'm sure he gets cheered to his face. And he, you know, I think that Dak's gotten enough out of the Cowboys. I don't think he needs them anymore for celebrity.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think he wants to win too. Like, give me a really good spot to win, a really good offensive coach. Maybe. I just think that if you look at free agency, the teams, first of all, everyone just drafted a quarterback. Six went in the first round last year. I don't think they're great spots. And then everyone re-signed this offseason. Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff. So a lot of spots are taken. There just are not a lot of great spots. And I obviously, if Dallas wants to spend, that is going to be the best opening for a free agent quarterback. If Dak leaves, do you think Matthew Stafford's going to want to stay in L.A.? He's going to do anything he can to get to Dallas. I think that is the premier spot. You have CeeDee Lamb. You have not just a good offensive line. You have a great offensive line. You're playing kind of indoors. You have a lot of things going for you in Dallas. If Dak wants to leave, trust me, there'll be a line of veteran quarterbacks. You don't think Rodgers would rather be in that situation than the Jets if the Jets don't work? I would not worry if I was a Cowboys fan.
I forgot about the Raiders, which got to me from the chat. Again, we're talking about money.
No, we're not talking about money. Dak doesn't need a dime. Dak is not going to want to kill his football legacy by going to the Raiders. I'm telling you right now, that would be a big mistake.
Yeah, I don't know. What's his football legacy now? It's like being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback that's perennially disappointing people.
He's 12-5 every year. He'll be 5-12 with the Raiders. The Raiders have Mark Davis as an owner. There are bigger problems there. Well, actually, they might be good with Dak. All right, we see you on the phone lines. We will dive into the Dak Prescott situation. Will he stay with the Cowboys? There's some interesting nominations for where he could go here. That's next. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. Dak Prescott's future on the Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, back on Maggie and Perloff. Dak Prescott's future. Will he be a Cowboy next season? Give us a call at 855-212-4227. All right, let's go to the phone lines on Dak's future. Let's start with Adrian in Maryland. Adrian, where will Dak be next year?
Hey, Mr. Perloff. He's going to be in Dallas. You guys don't have to worry about it. Jerry's always loyal to his players he's drafted. Dak is in this. He's in that Flacco season. You know, can you imagine if I'm a Dallas fan, but I'm not no homer and I'm not delusional. But imagine if they won the Super Bowl, what Jerry would have to pay to keep Dak there. It'd probably be $65 to $70 million. And it'd probably be a fully guaranteed contract. So, like I said, Dak, he's in that Flacco year. So we're going to see what's going to happen. If he does leave, I don't know where he's going to go, but he's not going to get the endorsements that he gets when he's at Dallas. So, and Dak says he doesn't like money. The money's always greener on the other side, but it's not better. So we'll see what happens.
Adrian, I totally agree, and thank you for the call, Maggie. Adrian is speaking sense here. Dak is not going to get that Oikos commercial if he is stuck in Glendale, Arizona.
Yeah, which he only got because Cam Newton fumbled it with a bad press conference. It's not like he's, you know, let's not pretend this is Mahomes and Mahomes happening. You know, this is not Mahomes and Kelsey.
No.
Are in every single commercial. There's no room for anyone else.
Before Mahomes, Dak was number one in the. He had five national commercials. I once did a thing on this. Like, Dak was the guy because of that star on his helmet, not because he's any better. He could be charming when he wants to be. All right, let's go to Peter in Rochester. Peter, where will Dak Prescott be next season?
Well, first of all, I got to say, representing Broome County, I'm from Endicott, New York, Maggie. And Maggie, I am fully with you. I think he's going to end up somewhere else. I'm going to nominate my Jets, like EJ. Not saying he's going to end up there, but if you're talking about a place that could be without a quarterback that classically signs a quarterback at the end of their career, I'm just throwing out the Jets. Maggie, I'm with you. Let's go Broome County. Let's go Jets. Let's go EJ. There we go.
Yes, Peter. Broome County, that's where I'm from. I'm in my closet right now because, unfortunately, I've tested positive for COVID. So I'm doing the show from home, from literally my closet. Around here somewhere, I have a hat that just says 607 with the area code from where I'm from. But if I can just quickly, I've been pulling out weird things that I found in the closet now that I've been sitting in here all morning. If I may, I don't know if this is an actual key to the city, but this is as close as I'm going to get. This is my Greater Binghamton Sports Hall of Fame plaque with a key underneath it, which my mom actually was doing some rearranging in the closet and got put into a bottom shelf. This is, do you guys see this on the Zoom? There we go. It's my plaque.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to give us like weird, funny things. This is just a brag that you're in the Greater Binghamton Sports Hall of Fame with the key to town. Bogus is here. Like, this is a full-on brag, right?
I mean, seriously, Maggie, it's shameless. But I want to...
Wait a minute. I didn't plant Peter as a call. I didn't know he was going to bring up Broome County. I didn't know that he was going to bring up Binghamton.
Got it.
Being from Endicott, along with other people that I got inducted with that night from the great city of Endicott. Endicott, home of the Jones brothers, John Jones, Arthur Jones, Chandler Jones.
Right, he cut her mic off. I do not want to hear any more about Endicott sports.
Yeah. I really want to explore the use of Greater Binghamton. Does that mean it's used to include Endicott in this ceremony?
Yeah.
Endicott, Johnson City, Main End, well, we got everything you need, Bo.
And those are all Binghamton suburbs?
Sure, yeah. Vestal, my very famous Binghamton University suburb.
Yeah.
That's where Binghamton University, which I have a sweatshirt from there around here in the closet somewhere, but I would not have brought this up because you're right, it's a brag. If I hadn't found this in the closet, I have it in the bottom drawer of my closet.
But wow. And it's not even 2 years old yet.
Why is that not hanging up in your house? It's awesome.
Because I'm not going to put the Greater Binghamton Sports Hall of Fame where? Above my mantle? No.
Yes. Wow.
Crazy.
It's not a Lombardi trophy, guys. I mean, I'm proud of it.
I would hang that up. I would hang it up saying Maggie Gray in my house. That's amazing. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think they want to Reggie Bush you and take that back.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't belong in a closet. That belongs on the wall.
No, Tony and Tom would never do that. This was one of the great moments of my life, you know,
for
my
seven
career.
7 seconds, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Now it's in a drawer
one of the great
in a
moments
closet.
Of my life.
All right, now I'm going to put it up here behind me with
still
all the rest
closet.
Of my stuff.
That should be the third thing you see in the Gray household.
Right.
I'm going to put it right next to Jim Kelly.
Here's Lucas. Here's my miniature Ed Oliver jersey. And here's my Hall of Fame induction
plaque.
Yeah,
Maggie, you should hang it up. We're actually being serious now. You should be really proud. It's amazing.
Well, you guys, you're sitting right behind. I've won a couple awards in my life. I've been so lucky. I have my Gracie Award is sitting right in the studio. It's like right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
Does it look like a signed Jim Kelly football? That's all I see at the moment.
Oh, that
they gave
over
me
there
that
in the
too.
Corner? That is,
yeah. No, Sully
that is
gave
a paperweight?
Me that. Yeah, that paperweight.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
All right.
For great women's achievements in media, they gave him a paperweight.
All right, before we get to the updates, can we just turn the attention to me and my team for 1 second? Because there's been so much Dallas
Never
Cowboys
happens.
Talk.
Let's talk about you.
There's been so much Dallas Cowboys talk that we have to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. And we have a call that might not be directly about the Eagles, but it's indirectly very much about the Eagles. Can we go to George in Los Angeles to talk about the future Eagles linebacker, Ernest Jones? George, what do you think? Are you gonna trade Ernest Jones to my Eagles from your Rams?
Yes, I would like to trade them because the Rams are first class front office, and they normally don't have a problem with negotiating, and there must be something going on. And yes, I would like to trade them. And I think the kids Fisk and Verse must be better than what we thought, and I would like to trade them to the Eagles. That'd be a good trade.
I actually, Ernest Jones has always been a confusing player to me because he was really good, but you always saw Aaron Donald. Like, is he a missing piece for a Super Bowl team? George, you've watched him a lot more.
He can help the Eagles, definitely. He's leading tackler of the Rams last year. But there's something going on behind the scenes that I'm not aware of unless the Rams are doing the ploy.
Maggie, by the way, he'd also fit very nicely with the Buffalo Bills.
Believe me, I've thought about it. Can we also put this poll question up for a second?
Yeah.
Because the reason why we're talking about Ernest Jones is because Perloff revealed that he had a high school bully, but it wasn't like traumatic bully. It was just a guy named Ernest Pendleton, who was the star running back for the Lower Marion High School football team, who used to punch Perloff in the shoulder every time he would pass you in the hallway. I think there's a disagreement on the show. Is Ernest a tough guy name?
No.
No, it's not a tough guy name, but Pendleton is definitely not a nerd name.
No, if you were casting a movie and you were casting a victim of bullying, you would name him Ernest Pendleton.
Oh, I disagree. Big Ern from Kingpin was a very famous, is Bill Murray. I think Ernest is a tough guy name.
No, Ernest Pendleton is not a tough guy name.
Does he sound more like an accountant or something?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I think to me it's a Gen X thing though. Like I think someone Gen X named Ernest could be tough. Like there are plenty of NFL players who were named Ernest who are certainly big, strong, tough guys. Like I just think if someone was named Ern or Ernest now, I'd be like, not a tough guy. But in like the 80s or 70s, I'd be like, maybe a tough guy.
But who's the most masculine?
We're not really like pumping out Ernests anymore.
Who's the most masculine American of all time? But I think there's not even a close second. A writer?
Rambo?
Ernest Hemingway. Was anyone called Ernest Hemingway a nerd? That dude would box you and shoot you and do it. He's the ultimate man. By the way, I'm looking at other famous Ernest. Ernest Borgnine. No one ever called Ernest Borgnine a wimp. How about Prince Ernest Augustus, third Duke of Cumberland?
Chump.
I was thinking of Ernest Biner. I know he's known for a fumble, but I wouldn't want to fight him.
But it's also the whole name. Ernest Pendleton does not sound like a guy that should be walking down the hallway punching people. He sounds like he should have a pocket protector and tape on keeping his glasses together.
Trey Anastasio from one of your favorites, Bogus.
Yeah,
his full name is Ernest.
I did not know that.
He's not a wimp.
He's also a neighbor of ours. I believe he lives in the general area of here.
Okay, well, Maggie did enough geography here. We don't really need that. Oh, neighbor of here is right. He lives near where we are right now.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I Maggie, we got to put up a poll. You're right. Is Ernest
a tough guy name?
Or is it a guy who gets punched in the arm?
Yeah, you see in Ernest, is he most likely the guy who's doing the punching or getting punched? If some way we can fit that in, something like that.
By the way, I feel terrible. If Ernest Pendleton is listening, it was not
big
a deal.
Don't play about it.
Are we getting into slander territory here? I mean, this is terrible. Killing this poor guy, Ernest Pendleton, who's probably just at home living, eating his breakfast, enjoying his day.
It's not slander unless you're lying. If he punched you in the shoulder, then it's not slander.
It's a debate.
Well, still, whatever. Okay, it's a debate.
Ernest Pendleton is listening to someone.
No, he did punch me in the shoulder.
Hey, is that Andrew Perloff on the radio?
I still want to punch him.
I did see, and I'm Googling his name. His son must have gone on to be a star running back because there's another Ernest Pendleton who played recently at Lower Merion. I'm telling you, this guy was really good, too. He was like one of the best athletes ever to go to my school, and we had Kobe Bryant. So I don't know
what
those
punches hurt. Believe me, I think that I just think away from Ernest Pendleton, maybe, because that's a little too on the nose. But for the poll question, just is Ernest a tough guy name? I think yes. I don't know if everyone believes the same.
Now, how do you spell Ernest? Is it E-A-R-N-E-S-T or just E-R-N-E-S-T?
I mean, I wrote in the poll E-A because I think that's what your Ernest's name is spelled. I'm pretty sure.
No, it's not. It's the other one.
Oh, it's not.
No.
Yeah, Ernest, E-R-N.
Yeah, with the A, that's the word Ernest.
Well, Ernest Hemingway is with the A. Yeah, right.
Is it really?
Isn't it?
I thought the name was E-R.
Oh, no. No, you're right. It's E-R. Sorry. You're right. It's always E-R. So there is no E-A.
Ernest, definitely like, put.
EJ, I'm
genuine?
With you.
Right.
EJ,
I really thought it was an A. Yeah, that's my bad.
Good thing we played for that upgraded Twitter. You should be able to edit that, or else the $11 we pay a month.
I'd run with it. I'd run with it. Seems to fit the theme of the day. We should get to updates with Andrew Bogus before we get in any more trouble. Save us once again, Bogues.
Yeah, I'll do my best. Long live Jameis Winston. Let's hope he backs up starting QBs into his mid-40s so we keep hearing preseason pregame speeches like Saturday's.
It ain't just about having fun, man.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time you played your best football game of your life.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time after that victory you went to CC Pizza and celebrated with the boys.
Yes, okay,
for real. Feel it in your heart, man.
Okay.
It's a long way back to Cleveland.
Yes.
Let's not leave it without a victory.
What a big weekend for CC's Pizza out of nowhere getting a shout out before an NFL game.
You talk to any football player, and their greatest memory is always going to eat with the high school team. Regardless, like, that is everyone I ever heard. Oh, man, after we won, we went to the diner and had milkshakes. And basically, we're all like your son, Jake.
Is Cece's Pizza more of a regional thing? Because I've never even seen one, I don't think, let alone been in one and had their pizza.
So it's a pizza buffet, which obviously would be very popular with football players. So I think that it's like probably like an all-you-can-eat kind of thing. And so I imagine that's why. But can you imagine Jameis Winston, after he retires, has like a second career in either sports psychology or regular psychology? Like the detail there of having guys tap into, remember that feeling, close your eyes, like put you on a couch, see yourself winning the game. I mean, to go to the CC's Pizza, I would have saved that till like a big game before the Bengals or something. You can't just like put out that good stuff for preseason week, you know, game three.
I think that's the irony of it, that Jameis Winston's random inspirational speeches have nothing to do with reality. That's like,
well, this is all he's got too, is a preseason game in Seattle, because he's not doing this before a real game.
Let's not forget his quality of celebrations as a backup in New Orleans in the post-game locker room. Like, he's the guy is also good after the game,
just not in it.
Yeah, isn't that the whole point? Like, why is this dude giving the all-time Tim Tebow speech before a preseason game? Because he's Jameis Winston.
There's no other way.
You ever seen Jameis Winston with fans too? It is a wild experience. I mean, he's so funny and he's so engaging, which is funny because I think, you know, Jameis Winston is a guy with a very mixed reputation because of his background and his past. He made some major mistakes. So all of a sudden, I saw the other day someone tweeted, is Jameis Winston the most beloved player in the NFL? That's something I never thought would be asked.
Yeah, I know. I think it depends how much you're reading.
I would never. There's nothing you can do to be to that level.
Yeah.
But by the way, the other thing too is like Jameis Winston. Are we going to see him this year, Maggie? I know you kind of think we are.
Definitely. Well, I mean, definitely. It's Deshaun Watson we're talking about, and I have the Browns as like my. I'm tap dancing with the Browns as my dark horse Super Bowl pick, and. I can't get past a couple red flags. One, well, the Browns. Two, that Deshaun Watson already had some shoulder soreness, but they're saying that he's going to be all right. Just anything with the shoulder, and he's had so many shoulder issues. And then the other part is they had to get Joe Flacco out of town because they were afraid that it would cause too much of a controversy. This is like 40-year-old Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. Would be too much for Deshaun Watson to handle. That can't be good. So I guess Jameis is less of a threat than Flacco, but only for now.
Well, Jameis gives a much better preseason hype speech than Joe Flacco, which is very important from the front office standpoint.
Do you guys remember Hard Knocks? I know we have other stuff to get to. When Hard Knocks did Tampa Bay, and it was Jameis and Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think it was a Hard Knocks, and they said he gave him some good advice, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Jameis did one of these big speeches, and Ryan Fitzpatrick goes, a little too long.
No, I don't remember that at all. So Fitzpatrick was backing, they were sort of platooning? What happened here?
I think that Fitzpatrick was signed as the backup, but as, you know, because he's the vulture, I think he ended up starting later in the season.
Got it. I don't remember that.
Remember when he was wearing that big chain and the glasses, like the first time he did that sort of gangster looking thing?
I remember
was
in Tampa Bay. That was Hard Knocks?
I think so.
I remember Ryan Griffin was on that Hard Knocks too.
Yes.
I was like, this is the greatest quarterback of all time. And I still don't understand why that guy's not good. Once again, which I want to point out to Bears fans, because if you watch this year's Hard Knocks, you're like, well, the Bears are 13-4. I mean, there's no doubt about this. Look at the way they've come together as a team. But anyway, how did we get to Jameis? That's the thing with Jameis. Once you get onto Jameis Winston, you get lost in a vortex of Jameis Winston funny things. Give us a few more headlines there, Bogus.
I'll tell you this, that CC's Pizza is only in 22 of our 50 glorious states, and the closest one to here is in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
so
I've been to one.
That's why I know nothing about. Give me Pizza Hut, give me Papa John's, Domino's, Little Caesars, but CC's Pizza is foreign to me. So I'm jealous of high school Jameis being good at sports and then having fun at CC's.
There you go.
Drake May is still the Patriots' backup quarterback, pending at least Jacoby Brissett's right shoulder issue that he picked up in last night's preseason finale in Washington. 255-pound Commanders D-lineman K.J. Henry landing on Brissett while sacking him. He did finish the drive, but Brissett did not return. As a precaution, Here's his head coach, Gerard Mayo.
I talked to him. Look, we'll see tomorrow. You always feel a little bit more sore the next day, but he said he was good. We'll find out tomorrow.
We might find out next hour when Mayo speaks to reporters again. Drake May playing a little sooner than expected because of the issue. He led New England's lone TD drive of the game, throwing for that score, 13 for 20, 126 yards altogether. Back-to-back homers from Alex Bregman and Yiner Diaz broke a seven-inning tie in Baltimore. The Astros got a 6-3 win on Sunday Night Baseball to split that four-game series. Houston maintains a four-and-a-half-game lead on the Mariners in the AL West. During the day, the White Sox lost for the 100th time, 9-4 to the Tigers. They are the second fastest ever that century mark. It took 131 games, one more than the 1916 Philadelphia A's. These Sox need 12 wins in their final 31 games to avoid matching the 62 Mets for the most losses in modern history. And that's 120. Guys, back to you.
Thank you, Andrew Bogus. All right, coming up, something you never expected to see on the Maggie and Perloff Show. I'm about to school Maggie Gray in a baseball argument. Oh, yeah, it's happening, Maggie. Nothing you can do about it. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. I don't think I have any friends around here because I did an informal poll on our upcoming debate between Maggie and I. Who is having a better season? I'm just going to put it out there. Aaron Judge of the Yankees or Shohei Ohtani of the Dodgers? To me, no doubt it's Aaron Judge. What say you, Maggie?
I don't know how you arrived at Judge if we're going to have Ohtani on this list. Ohtani just entered the 40-40 club, did it in style, hitting a grand slam to get his 40th home run. He's 21 games faster than any person who's ever been a member of the 40-40 club. And technically, he's hurt. He's rehabbing from major elbow surgery.
Okay, well, that's
and
ridiculous.
He's still going to win the MVP of the National League. I don't know how. Listen, Judge's home runs, sure. But Ohtani does everything. And if he was just rehabbing from his elbow injury, we'd be like, all right, fine. He's just rehabbing. Instead, he's going out there being awesome and put together another amazing season.
Oh, absolutely. But who do you think is winning the MVP in the American League?
Well, Aaron Judge will probably, but there's still a lot of Whit Merrifield people out there, and they'll give it to Judge because now he's on this crazy pace and he's a Yankee. But for me, Ohtani is the fact that he's doing this and also still rehabbing while he's going to be pitching again. I know you don't like the fact that he pitches and hits, but he's going to do it. Is so impressive.
I mean, I don't even know what. Am I in a time machine back to 2000? No, actually, to 1988. Who cares about it? Everyone's talking about Ohtani's stolen bases. First of all, they changed the rules to make it easier. What's the difference whether you're first or second when one of those all-stars on the Dodgers hits a home run to knock you in? Aaron Judge is leading the league in WAR by a mile and a half. He's leading the league in OPS by a record amount. He's about to once again break the American League home run record. He's actually a threat to win the Triple Crown. If we didn't know about 98 and the steroid era, this would be considered one of the great seasons in MLB history. There's nothing else he could do. If it's at the pace he's been hitting the last few weeks, he's going to shatter 62 home runs. He's going to challenge Barry Bonds' home run record. I know home runs are not viewed the same way, but if they were viewed the same way, then this would be like the season for Aaron Judge. And Shohei's nowhere close to that. His sabermetric stats are not in the same league.
Listen, I think that you're talking about guys who are on all-star teams, and Shohei stands out even amongst those awesome other Dodgers. I'll tell you the one thing that's going to derail Aaron Judge, if anything does, would be some kind of injury to Juan Soto. The fact that Soto is in the lineup means that guys can't pitch around Judge like they have. And so there's still like that. There's a lot riding on whether or not the rest of the lineup can be healthy, because then Aaron Judge actually even can see some of these pitches.
You got 31 games, Juan. Keep it together. And also, you're going to be a free agent. He'll be fine. I'm not worried about that. I mean, you can't. Don't even try and tell me that Shohei Ohtani's not supported by that Dodgers team, though.
Listen, they're both on really good teams. So, and the Dodgers probably a little bit better than the Yankees, but they're both on really good teams, and they still stand out amongst. So, you'll give me Judge as the captain and the biggest thing in the Yankees, but Shohei is definitely the biggest standout, even amongst the Mookie Bettses and the Freddie Freemans.
Yeah, but Judge is also the biggest. Yeah, I think first of all, Aaron Judge is just as big a no-brainer as MVP. Like, what am I missing? Like, this is one of the great seasons. It's probably not going to happen because he's hitting .333 and Bobby Witt's hitting .347.
But yeah, Bobby Witt.
Yeah. So he's second in the league in batting average, but he's a real threat to win the AL Triple Crown. And meanwhile, in the NL, Marcell Ozuna has a really great chance, if he can catch Shohei, to win the Triple Crown and threaten him for MVP. I just think that Aaron Judge, especially because of what he's done lately, if he keeps this pace up from last week, he's going to hit 70 home runs. Like, it's almost like the perfect season, and they're winning ball games. They're both great. But this year, I'm more of a power guy. I love Shohei. I mean, I'm a huge Shohei fan.
Yeah,
I don't
Shohei's
want
at 40 home runs. It's not like he's got 40 home runs in August. It's not like he's been slacking.
Yeah, but I mean, Judge is definitely in every hitting category is blowing him out of the water. There's just, I mean, Shohei's got this little stolen base thing going, but that doesn't blow me away because it's easier to do right now.
But also, Judge isn't dealing with a massive elbow injury. Now,
oh,
listen,
get out of here.
It's true.
Neither is Shohei. He's fine.
Shohei should get extra points from this. Here's a question for you.
Oh, my God. That makes no sense. It doesn't matter. We're arguing about who's having the better season. Who's not overcoming an injury?
Well, I think it adds to Shohei's lore even more. And the fact this started with a betting scandal that somehow his interpreter was stealing millions of dollars and he's able to put that away and have this amazing season. I think deserves credit for that. And then the other part, I have a slight twist on this question. First of all, should the other things play in? But here's a question. Who's the face of baseball? Do you consider Judge or Ohtani?
Wait, are we talking about... I don't understand where this debate is going. It was who's having a better season, Aaron Judge, not Shohei Ohtani, not who's got the better TMZ side stories going on. Who cares who's the face of baseball? Who's having a better season?
Okay, I think Ohtani's having the better season. I've laid out all my reasons why.
I agree.
I think he deserves credit for being... He had that Ohtani scandal was the all-time scandal. All-time. Think
so
about
what?
This in your personal life. Yes, it was. The guy stole $18 million.
I agree, but so what? That doesn't mean that that gives him more hits or more home runs or anything. This is a flat-out performance-based debate.
I'm saying the fact that his performance has not only dipped, but has stayed at an MVP level by switching teams and by having the person closest to him being someone who was defrauding him, and he came out of the gate hot. Like, Aaron Judge started the season. He's made up a lot of ground now. But Ohtani didn't miss a beat at all. And that, I think the mental part, especially with baseball, maybe, it definitely counts here. And the fact that he is still rehabbing an elbow, I do think counts. You don't think this counts for this debate, but I do.
I think the history is going to look back, depending on how Aaron Judge finishes the season. If he hits 65 homers, has 150 RBIs, and hits .340, I mean, it's one of the great seasons we've ever seen.
Do you want to know what people are going to say in New York?
I could care less what people say in New York.
Win a World Series. Win a World Series.
Again, you're getting way, way off track here. I mean, the Rangers beat the Diamondbacks in last year's World Series. This is an individual baseball season debate. Win a World Series. Good luck with that. That's a total crapshoot. The debate is who's having a better single season now. And the funny thing is everyone, Maggie, you're in the majority here in the office. You're in the home studio. But everyone's like, oh, of course, Shohei. It's not like I'm bringing up like a reserve second baseman here. This is Aaron Judge. I'm surprised because usually I'm not really a Yankee backer, especially here in New York. I'm a Phillies fan. But it's not like, you have to admit, Aaron Judge is pretty impressive. And I will admit that Shohei is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan is a Yankee fan. Is he also saying?
I'm a Mets fan.
Oh, you're
and
a Mets
Aaron
fan.
Judge.
I'm sorry.
It's Aaron Judge by a mile.
I mean, Aaron Judge's WAR is 9.4. Shohei is not even close.
Shohei's not even the highest WAR if you're looking at Fangraphs in the NL.
Yeah, no, Shohei's, funnily enough, not had his best analytics season necessarily.
Well, because he's on a much better team, of course. Mike Trout can put up these great analytic numbers on the Angels. I think that the fact that Shohei stands out amongst these guys definitely should count. Wait,
well,
let's put it as a poll.
Judge is just a walk machine, too, as, you know, he's not alone. Also, Judge does have Juan Soto. Anyway, we'll put that poll up at Maggie and Pearl on X. Coming up, oh, man, we'll get back to college football and why my Florida State prediction is not working out.